G'day everyone, welcome back to the Raw Rugby Podcast. I'm Christy Doran and joining me today to run you through all of the Super Rugby Team 4 news, Round 4 news, is Nick Wasiliev. Nick, good to have you join the pod again.
Cheers, thank you for having me. It's becoming a real challenge to tip this year, isn't it? Super Rugby Pacific, it feels like an enigma wrapped in a riddle. We said the Tars would win last week and they didn't. We said that the Reds wouldn't win last week, and they did. God, it makes it extremely interesting, but for us, tipping the competition, an absolute nightmare.
You're right. There were upsets all throughout last week, and that extended into the Six Nations. And once again, there's some really tough matches ahead, and you think, well, the Crusaders, they've just lost Scott Barrett, and they're up against the Hurricanes. There's a really big Aussie derby in there with the Melbourne Rebels and the Reds. And then, of course, the Tars finishing it up. Round 4 against the Auckland Blues. We're going to run through all 6 matches, Nick, and the first one on Friday afternoon, Australian Eastern Standard Time anyway, at 5:05, is the Crusaders up against the Hurricanes. Tell us, Nick, some of the team news. There's been a few tweets, particularly from the Crusaders.
Yes, it's a derby day sort of kicking us off, a duo of matches, and the Hurricanes will be making the journey down to Christchurch. And here's the challenge. It's a key challenge for the Crusaders, and that is they have lost Scott Barrett, who he has suffered a broken finger, and it will likely see him out for 6 weeks. So he joins the likes of Ethan Blackadder, Fergus Burke, Tamati Williams, Brody McAllister, Lee Halfpenny. They have a very considerable casualty ward in the Crusaders at the moment. And that's even before we get into Will Jordan and Braden Enner, who are out for the season, as well as Joe Moody. So there's going to be a lot of challenges placed on that Crusaders squad, and they're coming up against a Hurricane side that has got a relatively unchanged squad. Pirithi will be going back to the bench, and Devon Flanders will be starting in the number 6 jersey, which I think is a very good move in terms of kind of building into the game a bit more. And Namir is also the other change in the front row for the Crusaders, but very settled Canes squad with their best start in 9 years. It's bad times if you're a Crusaders fan, because that's a very good-looking Canes squad.
Oh, it certainly is, and they managed to be way too good for the Blues last week. And despite a couple of injuries to the Blues, just the Hurricanes, just the ability to find the try line, withstand pressure. And, yeah, I think they're favourites for this one. And I thought that it was a toss of the coin before Scott Barrett was ruled out. His injury absence is going to be a huge one. And you feel a little bit for Rob Penny after 3 defeats, the worst start for the Crusaders since the inaugural season right back in 1996. So I'm tipping the Hurricanes. However, I think the Crusaders, Ryan Crotty back onto the bench, he'll bring a lot of experience. Owen Franks off the bench. If there's a team that knows and that has managed to find ways to win in past years, it's the Crusaders. They're going to have to draw upon all that experience, and guys like David Avili in the midfield and Amua, his partner, they need to have big ones. A tweak at fly half as well, Riley Hopia back in the number 10 jersey for the Saders. So another change in the halves, that's a really crucial thing. And it also just tells you about the lack of continuity that they've got now in the post-Richie Mo'unga era. What are you thinking, Hurricanes as well?
I am definitely thinking Hurricanes. I think it's the real question right now, isn't it? Is something rotten in the state of Canterbury? That's the question we ask ourselves right now. And this is the Crusaders we're talking about. It is it's very dangerous to write them off because the record speaks for itself. But there's clearly something up with this squad right now and in terms of how they're performing. And I just see this Canes side looking like a better team right now.
Well, rotten's a very strong use of language. I just think that they're struggling in the post Razor Richie Sam Whitelock era a little bit, and injuries don't help.
I use it in the Shakespeare context. I use it purely in the Shakespeare context. Of course, it's a good squad.
How very Shakespearean of you. Second game, Amy Park, Melbourne, and they host the Rebels host the Queensland Reds, who are coming off the back of a huge win over the Chiefs. I don't know how many people saw that coming. And as Les Kiss said, that they weren't surprised by the performance. I'm sure many others were. A few changes on both sides, Nick. Tell us who's coming in.
Well, there is quite a few changes. Both the Rebels have made a couple of minor changes. The big one, of course, is Taniela Tupou, who is now, did very well coming off the bench in their win against Moana Pacifica, but he will move into the starting side. Rob Leota also is back in the back row. And then additionally, we have Andrew Kellaway, who will be starting at fullback, which will see Jake Strawn return to the bench, with Foot kind of opting for six forwards. And they're definitely going to need it. I think that's clear that Foot really thinks they can win this game in the forward pack. Similarly, Les Kiss has also made some changes. And the one that I'm very excited about is Harry McLaughlin-Phillips, who will start at fly half, with Tom Liner being named on the bench. I think this is an excellent move by Kiss. Because I reckon, even though I think Liner has been very impressive, it's very good to rest and rotate your players. And in this regard, I think McLaughlin-Phillips has looked very strong in trials and also in the context of, in previous games. He finished very, very well last week, is a big one. Of course, Fagahisi has also copped a 4-week ban for the high shot in last week's match. So Fijian international Penny Raavi will come into the starting side, which is a very handy alternative. So, yeah, lots and lots of good inclusions.
You're not wrong. I think it's a wise decision from Kevin Foote, Nick Styles, to ensure that Taniela gets as many minutes as he can against the Reds, his former side. So I think that's a really good option. Leota, yeah, he came off after 10 minutes against Moana Pacifica, but it was just a knock to the knee. It was more of a precautionary thing. So he's fit enough to take his spot, which is a big boost for them. Yeah, the decision to start Harry McLaughlin-Phillips probably caught a few people by surprise. I know that some read into that he wasn't right off the back of a late shot last week, which saw him leave it around the 50-minute mark during their win against the Chiefs. I agree. I think it's really good management from the Reds, but we'll also just think that McLaughlin-Phillips is probably a little bit more durable. He's slightly bigger frame than Tom Liner. And I think that the number 10, whoever was going to wear that jersey this week, was going to be targeted by a pretty big forward and physical forward pack from the Rebels. So I reckon this is going to be a really tight game. I know that the Rebels haven't quite probably shown as much as the Reds this year, but I just get the feeling like they're building slowly. And off the back of two wins, they'll have a bit more confidence than they did going into that first game against the Brumbies. I think it's a toss of the coin. Maybe Reds by a couple of points, but I'm still a little bit undecided, I've got to admit.
I have to agree. It's a very difficult one. I have come upon a decision. I reckon this is again a contender for match of the round. There is one other game that I'll also consider. I'm going Reds. I think it's not for any, the on paper the Rebels have an excellent squad, but Les Kiss has just got this side humming. They're looking very strong, but what was particularly impressive is every person does their particular job brilliantly. They know how to do their jobs and get that done. And the real question that is going to be posed to Kiss's side this week is those back-to-back weeks of very tough games going to come back to bite them? I think that is the key question they need to answer, because the Rebels have it in them to knock back this Red side if they're not performing at their top level. I think the Reds can do it. I think that they've got it in them to win it, but it's the right problem to have these two sides looking very strong.
Yeah, the other key and good points to be able to keep the momentum and keep being mentally strong enough to go on and go on again, particularly after a couple of big games against the Kiwis. That's a difficult thing. I think the centres matchup is going to be really interesting, because you've got Felipe Dangouno, who shifted back into the midfield. He was particularly effective on the ball for the Rebels last week against Moana Pacifica, a couple of steals he made. But the Reds, no Hunter Poisami once again. Jordan Bataille will come off the bench after missing round three because of a concussion. But yeah, Josh Fluke, Isaac Henry, another opportunity for them to just settle things down. They've played alongside each other for a while. Henry's had his own injury issues in the past. And yeah, I think it was such a seamless transition last week, with Henry coming in for Paisami, that Kiss will be pleased with that, but knowing that one hot day doesn't make a summer, so they've got to back it up this week. Okay, third game. It's a bumper Friday night again. Spare a thought to those that are writing match reports. The Western Force Minor Pacifica. It's a big game for Simon Cron. I think it's almost must win for them because off the back of three wins, defeats to start the season, a couple of games that they've let slip through their fingers up against a improving Moana Pacifica side, they've got to make a statement at home and fire a shot right now.
It is must win. No hyperbole. The Western Force have to win this match. If they are genuinely serious about making finals, they have to perform here. That when they've been on form, the Force have looked very good. They've challenged some very good sides. The Brumbies have a lot of depth. The Rebels have a very good side, and they have challenged both those sides only to fall away in the back half of matches. And if that continues to happen, it's not going to be acceptable. So they have to win here. Big loss for them in Michael Wells, who I think is probably one of the more underappreciated players in that squad, who is out with a knee injury for them. But a very talented player in Tim Ancy comes into the starting side, as well as Reed Princep, who has kind of joined the Force. He's an injury cover, which goes to show how bad their casualty ward has been, who will also be brought into the bench. I think a very smart decision by Cron here is to make Isaac Fiennes-Liliuokalani start with White coming off the bench. I think that's a very, very key. Cron's clearly trying to address those issues of not finishing those games well, and having a very experienced head coming off the bench will be critical for them. And I think this is a very good move on his part, particularly when you look at Moana Pacifica. And the key change that they have is that they've got the likes of Julian Savia, Christian Liliuokalani, and Sakobi Kepu all starting in that side. So I think Moana are sniffing a win here. They sniff an opportunity to grab a win away from home. And I do back the Force to be able to finish this game considering Moana's bench. I think the Force can win this one.
Yeah, look, Christian Liliuokalani returns to the 10 jersey for the first time. Sakobi Kepu, as you made mention, he also starts. It's his first start in more than a year. So good to see the old veteran Aussie duo back up against another Aussie derby. It almost feels like an Aussie derby given those kind of figures there. But you're right, it's really important for both these two teams. I'd very reluctantly and hesitantly go the Force, but I like just the fact that there's only been a couple of changes, and to me that's a really big thing, just trying to get some stability into the team. And Ben Donaldson's probably been the most impressive 10 to start the year from an Australian perspective. He's got an opportunity to continue that partnership with Max Bury, who's at 15, who'll continue to pop up at 10. But I think it'll just be one in that tight five battle. And the fact that there's not a change in that Force tight five, I think can be a really, really big and significant thing. They need to fire up and they've got to go again. Medrano's probably the key for me, I think, and perhaps just even the line-outs. Moana struggled there last week. There's a really big responsibility for Tom Horton. I'll go the Force by 5 points, but maybe that has more to do with playing on home turf than anything else.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. There's stability there, and when they've looked good, they've looked good. So hopefully they can build on that.
Okay, a super Saturday, three matches. The first one's a cracker, Under the Roof, Forsyth Barr Stadium in Dunedin, the Highlanders up against the Brumbies. I'm really excited about this clash. Every time I see a match Under the Roof there, you love to see the footy because it's generally really attractive. Can the Brumbies, I know that they've won two of their first three, that they managed to scrape over the line against the Western Force, can they kind of re-establish their mojo, find it again? Because the Highlanders have started the season quite impressively.
Well, they have to, because if they churn out, I actually think if they churn out another performance like they have in previous weeks, the Highlanders are going to win this game, because the Highlanders are looking very strong. And again, similar to the Reds, they're doing their small jobs very well. They're targeting particular positions very, very well. It is very clear, though, that Larkham really wants to shake things up. He's moved a whole bunch of experienced heads to the bench, most notably Lachie Lonergan and James Slipper, which hopefully he wants to try and make sure that the team finishes the game very well. Bringing Blake Shoup and Billy Pollard into the starting lineup As well as Caden Neville, who will start. He's been coming off the bench for the last little while. Jerome Brown's in as well. Interestingly, for the Highlanders, a very key change or swap, which is Reece Patchell, who has looked fantastic for the men from Dunedin, will be rested with Cam Miller starting at the number 10 jersey. So, I mean, Miller has looked promising. He's a very exciting player. Just the question is, can he fill the boots of that experienced head that Reece Patchell has? It's very minimal changes for this Highlanders side, and that worries me, because if the Brumbies can't perform, then I can see the Highlanders winning this.
Yeah, I've got to say, I'm surprised by the changes at 10 with Reece Patchell getting a spell. Generally speaking, I can cop that, but I just think it's a big one. He's a Welsh international. He's played a lot of rugby. I don't know if this is the right week to be resting it. I was sensing that the Highlanders could get one over the Brumbies, but I just think with that change, that's a really significant one. And I'm going to go the Brumbies. I like the fact that there's probably a bit more physicality in the side there this week with Jerome Brown at 7 and Caden Neville coming in as well into the tight 5. I think that starch has been missing from the last couple of weeks. Having Slipper and Lonigan come off the bench, those two add a lot. And then even at Ollie Satsford, he's a guy that I don't think is necessarily a 12 in this modern kind of era to start the games. But off the bench, I think he can add a lot. I'm going to go the Brumbies by 5 points, but I think it's going to be a really, really good game. Tom Hooper at 6 as well. I think he's definitely a back rower. He's got to stay clear of the second row for the time being. Here's an opportunity for Ryan Lonigan and Noah Lolasio to get back to start firing some shots. They're an experienced combo. They've got to be able to lead this Brumby side around the park.
Yeah, they have to fire. Again, it's kind of in a similar position to the Force, even though they do have some wins to show for it. I don't know why, and, you know, I hope this age is like sour milk, but I don't know why I'm saying the Highlanders right now. I just feel like it's a hunch more than anything else.
Well, as a Brumby supporter, I know you're a Brumby supporter. I'm surprised to hear that, but fair play. Fifth game. The Chiefs and Fiji. I don't think we need to talk too much about this one, but I get the sense that the Chiefs, off the back of a defeat, going back home to Waikato up against the Fijian side that doesn't notoriously travel very well. I feel like the Chiefs, this could be a game where they put a pretty big score on the opposition.
I certainly hope not. There is a couple of changes for that Chiefs side, most notably a return of an All Black in Josh Lord, as well as a rookie Tom Florence, who's coming in as well. I'm hoping for a good contest, but the Drua right now haven't proven themselves as being capable of travelling on the road. And with the Chiefs playing as well as they have, even despite the loss to the Reds last week, I don't see them losing this game in Hamilton.
No, I get the feeling it could be a few tries in this one. When you've got someone even like a Quintipiah coming back via the bench, there's a fair bit of depth and experience in this team. Tokyahu starts. Had they won last week, I get the feeling like one or two guys might have been given a spell. That's not the case after losing, because these are the sorts of games where you need to win and you probably need to get a bonus point, to be honest. All right, last game, Waratahs Blues. It's a really big one for Darren Coleman's men. And there's some changes and quite a few of them.
Yeah, there is quite a few changes. And the key challenge and the key issue that the Waratahs are facing this week is a lot of challenges at hooker. We've lost Vaiolanu, who is out for this clash. So Darren Coleman has had to do some digging. He'll have Julian Heaven, who will start in the hooker position. But we have a two Blues player in the form of Jay Fono Kalafi, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly, who will be coming into, he'll be kind of coming in as an emergency cover, coming off the bench. Obviously, I think Coleman has made a good decision here to put a lot of experience onto that bench to try and cover that. So Angus Bell will actually be on the bench with Hayden Thompson-Stringer making the start. Fergusley Warner is a nice return for the Waratahs. With Hugh Sinclair then being shafted back to the bench. Big loss in Max Jorgensen, who is ruled out with a hip injury. So there will be some, but we will see the return of the likes of Dylan Peach, who will be back. Marky Mark will return to fullback. And interestingly as well, after being kind of out for an undetermined time, Lachie Swinton is set to play his first game of the year coming off the bench, while Jack Grant will also come in. But they're coming up against a very strong Blues side with Hoskins, Atutu and Caleb Clark slotting back into that team. It's a hard challenge, this game, and probably another contender for match of the round for me, Christy.
Well, it's a good one to close it out, and it's so important for Darren Coleman's side off the back of last week's heartbreaking defeat with the last kick of the game, not being able to slot it, Tane Edmund. It's a game where when you're about to go to Fiji to take on the Drua, you really want to be ensuring that you're not one win and three defeats from your opening four matches, because it's a scary prospect about what's to follow. Yeah, it's not ideal, the issues at hooker, when you're already missing guys like Dave Parecki, and Jorgensen's blow is a significant one. Not long need to ask, he's a good player who's good in the air, but has barely spent any time at fullback. The rest of the back line's pretty settled, which is a helpful thing, and as is the forward pack too. But yeah, it's one of those ones where you've got two hookers that have got less than five games of experience under their belt up against a really strong looking Blues team. I'm back in the Blues, and I think at this point in time, off the back of the injury news today to Max Jorgensen, who, by the way, has been linked to the Sydney Roosters. More on that at theraw.com.au shortly. But I feel like the Blues could win this by a couple of tries, and I hope that's not the case, because it's hard to rediscover the momentum then and also have the fans keep the faith if you go back-to-back defeats at home to start the season.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't think I can see the Blues winning by a couple of tries. I think it's going to be a much closer game. But I do. I'm also with you backing the Blues. Just the key roles and the key inexperience is really what pushes this the scales in their favour. They've got a very good squad. The Blues do, and yeah, it would be a really big loss for the Waratahs to lose those two games at home, especially when it feels like there is quite a lot of momentum in several Australian sides right now. For the Waratahs to not perform and not get the win at home would be really disappointing. So yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tars fans. I'm with the Blues at the moment.
Well, fingers crossed. If they show as much courage as they did last week, they'll be in the hunt, and sometimes that's all you need to be in with a sniff. All right, Nick, thanks for joining me today on this rapid-fire edition of the Raw Rugby Podcast, where we run you through all the team news and provide a bit of analysis, and hopefully you're enjoying these. Make sure you do review, rate the podcast, and hopefully you're loving the ones on Monday and Tuesday with Matty Tamua. And it was awesome to have Matt Felsler join the pod earlier this week too. All right, now, enjoy the weekend's action, and talk soon.